Praise the Lord, everybody. God is a good God. Amen. I thank our Father in heaven today. I thank him for his grace. I thank him for his mercy. I thank him for his son, Jesus Christ, who was our sacrifice, also our great high priest. We're going to talk about today the blood of the covenant. If you make your way over to chapter 24 of the book of Exodus, and we'll start looking there, and we'll see what it means by joining into a blood covenant. And we'll see just how little God has changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament. So Exodus chapter 24, I'm going to start there. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask, O God, as I come before your people, O God, I ask that you would speak with my mouth, use my mind, use my words for this message for your people. And Lord, help us to see, O God, you and all of it, and especially your son, Jesus. Amen. Exodus chapter 24, starting out in verse 1, we're talking about a blood covenant. And this covenant was established between the elders, in this instance, and God. Exodus 24, 1 through 11. And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice, and said, all the words which the Lord hath said, we will do. Verse 4. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and rose up early in the morning, and built an altar under the hill, and the 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in a basin, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord hath said, we will do and be obedient. And Moses took of the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Then went up Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and the 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet as if it were paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not a hand. Also they saw God and did eat and drink. This was a covenant that God had given to Moses. He told Moses what was in this covenant. And then Moses, he took this covenant to the people. He told them about it. Then he wrote them down about it. Then he built an altar and had a sacrifice before that. And I want to take notice of a few things in this scripture. One, starting out with the first thing of importance with this covenant, and that was the sprinkling of blood. That was a sacrifice, we know, of the animals. And as we read in the scripture, half were put in the basin, and the other half of the blood was sprinkled on the altar. The symbolism of the sprinkling of the blood is symbolic of a seal or symbolic of a commitment that they would be entering into as a result of the covenant. It's the binding agent between the two parties. The two parties are between God and man. And these that are partaking in this are the leaders of the congregation of Israel. The second thing I want you to take notice of is the altar itself. The altar is the meeting place between God and man. It's a place where man comes to worship God at the altar. It's a place where a man comes and offers a sacrifice unto God at the altar. But the deeper meaning behind the altar is the presence of God is there. God is at the altar. He's there. The blood that is sprinkled first at the place where God resides. And that's important because he enters into the covenant with man first. And the blood is that binding agent between God and man. And so Moses sprinkles this on the altar. And this process was set up in the tabernacle, was given by God. And if you remember when God constructed the temple that they would use in the Old Testament, God was very specific. He was very detailed in everything that went into the temple, how it was supposed to be treated, how it was supposed to be cleansed, what was supposed to be used, down to the very last detail. God was very specific about his house. Why? Because he is holy. So no man can come to where he dwells unless they're in the same condition. Not even the animal's blood can come in if it has spot or blemish. That's how careful God is with his dwelling place. So this blood and the people, Moses was the one that took the blood and he sprinkled it on the altar. He dipped his hands physically in the blood and sprinkled it on the altar because they were about to go into a covenant with God. And as a result of this sprinkling of the blood, sprinkling on the altar, God includes himself in that because he's the one that gave the covenant to Moses to give to the people. He is the one who is director of everything that's going on at this point. Moses is carrying out what he said. The third thing is the covenant itself, the blood covenant. This is an alliance, a pledge. Moses told the people what God said, because God gave him everything that he wanted him to tell the people. That's important. And the people said this with one voice. They said, all that is said, all the words which the Lord had said, we will do. Then Moses did this. He wrote what God said and what he told the people down. He wrote it. And then on the next day, it said early in the morning, he got everything together and he brought the people back. And he read the same words that he gave them, that God gave Moses, back to the people again. And they agreed with what God said. And they said they would be obedient to it, to what the words were. So now you have the parties. the ones who are in agreement with the covenant of God, the altar has already been sprinkled with blood, which is the agent which will bind them together in covenant. And then we see this happen. The fourth thing we need to look at is the sprinkling of this blood. So, with the sprinkling of the blood, again, Moses dips his hand in the remaining half of the blood. Dips his hand in it. He goes to Aaron and he sprinkles the blood on Aaron. Then he goes to the other two priests, Nadab and Abihu, sprinkles the blood on them. And the remaining blood, he sprinkles the blood upon the 70 elders that Moses brought up with them, the priests, the 70 elders, and him. This was the core of the children of Israel. And when he sprinkles it upon them, the blood is applied to them. Just like it's applied to the altar. Now they have joined a covenant with God because the blood is tying God and the people together with one covenant, the blood. And you might ask yourself this. Do we need a covenant with God, a blood covenant with God now? I would say absolutely yes, we do. And you might even ask yourself, how would this covenant work between us? Well, one, I have to take you back to what David says in Psalms 51. He says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother," what? "Conceive me." So what does that do? That disqualifies us from being able to come before God. Because we have spot, we have blemished. We need something in order to change our condition in order to come before God. We need a covenant with him, but we can't do it on our own. And so what does God do? Well, before that, our condition that we are born in, we're born dead in our trespasses and sins. That's what the Bible tells us. We live in sin, which means we perpetually sin over and over again in the world. And we are spiritually dead to God because we don't have what we need in order to have a relationship with him. So what do we need? Because of what transpired in the garden when Adam fell, every man walks in this condition of being dead, spiritually dead from God. When Adam sinned in the garden, sin entered into the world. And through Adam's seed into every man, it disqualifies us to come before God. But I want you to know today, God had a plan. God had a plan for those who are spiritually dead. God made a way for us to meet the qualifications just to come before him. We could not do that on our own. God made a way for us. And this way was not just a way that anybody could have done. Because even if from birth not have committed a sin, we're still disqualified because it's in us. So something had to be created in order for us to have a condition, for us to be able to come before God. And what is that? That's Jesus. With Jesus, we have the ability to come before God. So what does that mean? How does this covenant sound? Moses read it to the people as God said. So now I'm going to tell you what that means. I'm going to talk it through just like what Moses did. What does that mean? God sent a Savior. And the Savior was Jesus Christ. And because he sent a Savior, it addressed the sinful condition that man was in. Jesus is the Savior of the world. And not only is he the Savior, but he's also our sacrifice that we need. In order for us to have a blood covenant with God, we need someone with the perfect blood that could wash away our sins. Jesus, being God's son, came into the earth for the sole purpose to die on a cross. Why? Because we needed to be able to be connected back to God again. This blood covenant is what we needed in order to draw nigh to him. If we couldn't draw nigh to him, we would be still back down the mountain. But he wants to invite us up. He wants to invite us to the place where he is, but we can't do that by ourselves. And he had to send someone. He provided this savior, this sacrifice. And not only that, a great high priest. Moses was the first one that initiated this sprinkling of the blood in chapter 24. But in chapter 39, Aaron took it over and began to carry out those duties, sprinkling blood on the altar in the tabernacle. But we need someone to sprinkle the blood for us. We need someone with that kind of blood that God would accept. Not just to cover our sins, but to erase them. To blot them out totally. And that's none other than Jesus Christ. And we just have to believe that God did this for us. That's the condition of this covenant. That we put our faith in Jesus Christ and believe that God sent him to be the very sacrifice for us, to have his own blood shed for us, and to be our high priest for us. To be obedient is all that God requires us to do in our faith, is just believe. Now, those are my words. Now I'm going to read his word. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. That's what his covenant means, by us agreeing to it, coming into it. Then we have Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 4 through 6. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together in Christ." And it says, "By grace are we saved." We just sang a song about that. His grace and mercy. This is Ephesians 2, 4 through 6. Verse 6 says, "And hath raised us up together." You remember, they were down by the hill, and then they were invited up, and they saw God, and they ate with him, and they said under his feet was like sapphire. He's sitting together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. This is the covenant that we need to agree to be obedient to, that we can have the same application of the blood that Moses sprinkled on the altar, that Christ sprinkled on the altar in heaven. Now we need that blood sprinkled upon us to make us, and to join us into this same covenant. 2 Timothy says, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works." It's not something that I could have done on my own, but it's something that only Jesus could do. "But according to his own purpose and grace, which has given us in Christ Jesus before the world was." That's how good God is. He thought about how he would get us back to him even before the world was created. He had a plan. He didn't want us to be without him. He didn't want us in the condition of being spotted and blemished, But he wanted us to have this blood sprinkled on our conscience and our mind. Hallelujah. And lastly, Timothy in chapter 3 and verse 5, he says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, hallelujah, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. What do we need to do? Just be obedient to that. We want salvation. Just be obedient to his word and believe that he did this before the foundation of the world. Prepared. Jesus said, I came in the volume of the book that was written of me just for this purpose. Just that we would have life and not walk in our deadness and in our trespass and sin. We need the blood applied to this temple. This is the temple where the Holy Ghost resides. We need him to sprinkle it on the articles of our hearts and our minds that we could be saved. Isn't that something to shout about? I say hallelujah. Hallelujah, because now I know I have a covenant with God where his blood has been applied to my mind. And the Spirit is the one that comes in and cleans us from all unrighteousness that we can approach God in the first place. God is a good God. And when he does something, he does it perfectly. He wants us to come to him not as spotted and blemished people, but he wants us to come in the condition that he can put this blood and be the seal that joins us with him, making us part of his family. Are you glad about that? I'm happy about that today. I'm happy that God thought of me in that manner. I praise him for what he has accomplished through Jesus Christ and the works that he has done. He thought about me to apply his very own blood. God is a good God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This blood covenant he makes available for us, for everyone, for those that are walking in darkness like we once did. I thank him for drawing me into a place where I could hear this covenant about how I can join by faith, believing on Jesus Christ. I thank him that he brought his word to me that I could hear it in my ears. I thank him because he left me his word that I could read it for myself and hear it in my own ear. I thank him for even giving me the mind to not reject his word. I thank him for giving me the opportunity to accept his word. He gave me the faith to believe. He gave me the faith to believe. And I thank him today. I thank him for his grace. I thank him for his abundant mercy that comes every day. This world needs to know about the blood covenant that they can enter in with Jesus Christ as their sacrifice. As Jesus Christ, as our great high priest, offering his very own blood. It was not by accident that God started like this. In the Old Testament with the sprinkling of the blood. We don't have these sacrifices like they did in the Old Testament. And I'm glad about it because those were just a covering. God has given us so much better with the covenant that we have in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The best blood. The precious blood. The blood that all the songs are written about. It reaches. It has no boundaries. It reaches to the highest mountain, flows to the lowest valley, can touch. It still has the power. It still has the power. It still has the power to change us, our sinful condition. I would dare to say we don't need a lot. But whatever blood he had in his body, he took into the temple in heaven. Half of it went on the altar. And the other half is enough to for everyone who puts their faith in him. Do you want to put your faith in him today? Do you want this life-altering blood applied to your conscience today? He is able to do it. That is salvation. That's why we meet here at the altar. To give our lives as a living sacrifice unto him. We thank you, O God, for the blood covenant that you have entered in on your part. And for those who have received salvation, we thank you for the blood applied to us. We thank you for what the blood represents. And Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus that this word would go forth to those people in the world who may not look like us, who may not sound like us. We ask in the name of Jesus that you would draw them in, that they would hear this word, that their lives can be changed by this very blood that's already been applied to the altar in heaven. We just need them to come in and to hear. So draw by your Spirit, O God. In Jesus' name we pray.